want to revisit this from last weekend's Marlon Vera versus Dominic Cruz fight, and it was the Nate Landwehr versus David Onama bout. It seemed during the second round, it seemed like Nate Landwehr had broken Onama, and he was not interested in continuing the fight. And when he got back to the corner, his coach James Krause asked him 5 times if he wanted to keep fighting. And I didn't like that, what I saw from Krause, and I didn't like the reaction I saw from Onama, and that he asked him 5 times, and then he told him he was going to get out there and continue fighting. And I saw a lot of people on social media praising Krause's actions for the way he handled it between rounds, and I don't share that thinking, and I don't think it was praiseworthy. By not answering Krause's question on the maybe not the first time, because you just came out from fighting 5 rounds, and it didn't go well for Onama, and not 5 rounds, for 5 minutes, and it didn't go well for Onama during those 5 minutes. So maybe you give him one to get his bearings. But by the third time, if the fighter's not answering that question, I'm getting concerned that they don't want to be in the fight and that they are looking for a way out and they are looking for me as the corner to provide that way out. But the fourth time, I'm getting a little more sure that the fighter doesn't want to continue. The fifth time, I'm pretty confident that they are done and they don't want to continue anymore, and that I, as a corner, should look out for them and not send them back out to take 5 more minutes of possible abuse and unnecessary damage. But that didn't happen. And for that, Krause shouldn't get praise. I think he failed this fighter in this case. I mean, this is just my opinion. But to me, Onama looked like he wanted out. Krause failed to give him that out. And so he sent him out there to take 5 more minutes of damage. Now, Onama did fairly well in that round. It didn't change the outcome of the fight. So, was it useless and unnecessary damage that he took during that round? It was. And so, in the big picture in this, I think Krause failed his fighter. There is nothing wrong with throwing in the towel when a fighter is not interested in being in the cage anymore. There's nothing wrong with waving it off and letting that fighter avoid taking unnecessary damage. This stigma, this idea that a fighter has to go out in their shield is dumb. It serves no purpose other than entertainment of the crowd, and it needs to go away. The utmost important thing for a coach, for a corner, is to make sure their fighter's safe and that the fighter is going to leave that cage that night as well as they as close to how they could as close to as how they entered the cage that night. And I think Krause failed in that. That's my opinion on this. And bigger picture, my opinion on this is that there is no shame in throwing in the towel. There is no shame in saying, you know what, you've did your best, wasn't your night, let's call it, live to fight another day. There's no shame in that. The stigma attached to that needs to go away. Going out on your shield, stupid, antiquated, and the thinking needs to go away. The big news this week was that Shane Burgos has left the UFC as a free agent and signed with PFL. I think he made the right financial decision for himself, and this is what he had to say. Last time I negotiated with the PFL, it was relatively close. That's why I was like, it's not that big of a difference. It was a bigger difference this time. It was a six-figure difference back then, what it was going to get paid from the PFL, and I turned that down to stay with the UFC. Now it's obviously bigger than that. When it's all said and done after the first season, obviously I plan on winning. I'll be a multimillionaire. Now, I hope that Burgos has a base rate that exceeds what his base rate for the UFC would have been if he would have re-signed. If not, I have a mixed feelings on this because I mean, confidence is great. Counting on winning, though, as this is going to make me my money, that's a mistake. But I'm gonna assume the base rate is there, and that Burgos is going to get paid more to go fight PFL. And even if he doesn't win, he's going to be get paid more. And I applaud that. And everyone should be applauding that. He made the right decision for himself. And the UFC has shown basically that the fighters at this point are content creators. They're interchangeable cogs. They can be switched out for anybody. And I mean, while Burgos is someone who is entertaining, the UFC isn't going to really miss him because the UFC isn't in the business of missing any fighters. As far as overall business goes, they don't miss Jon Jones. They don't miss Conor McGregor all that much. They're setting record numbers without their biggest draws. They don't need these draws, and that is by design. That's why the UFC three letters are more important than any fighter on the roster. Has been that way since the Fertitta brothers bought that. That did not change with Endeavor taking over. And so Burgos made the right call, and I wish him luck. And I think other fighters need to explore the options and weigh them and see who is going to pay the most for their services, because we know the UFC might not be that promotion. And so you go where the money is. It's called prize fighting. And while Burgos should be applauded for making the right decision, someone who should not be applauded in the aftermath of all this is UFC President Dana White. He didn't handle losing this fighter with any kind of leadership skills. White, who likes to portray himself, since he is the president, as the overall leader and someone who has his hand in all decision making of the UFC, did not appear as a strong leader in the aftermath of this, of losing a fighter like Shane Burgos. And here is what he said to Yahoo Sports. Basically, there were some mistakes that were made here, some things that he should have still been here. I respect him very much, and I wish him the best. 100% mistakes were made on the UFC side. 100% big mistakes were made over here. What this says to me, reading into it a little bit, is that Dana White doesn't think he made these mistakes. He thinks that there is someone else on his staff who made these mistakes. And while that might be true, he is the president, and as such, he needs to be the one who bears the brunt of these mistakes. He needs to be a good leader. He needs to be the guy that says, you know what? We made mistakes. The UFC made mistakes. Not someone made mistakes. Not there were mistakes made. This is not the language of a good leader. This is not how a good leader deals with mistakes that were made. They take those mistakes, they take the blame for those mistakes. And as such, White should be taking the blame for losing this fighter, not trying to pass the buck, not trying to insinuate there was someone else on his staff that screwed up. The final voice in all this is Dana White. So he should be the one that's bearing the brunt of this, not his style. And this is very poor leadership on the side of UFC President Dana White. California is one of the few states where the Athletic Commission distributes the disclosed pay for MMA fight cards. And as such, we found out the disclosed pay for the Vera versus Cruz fight card that took place in San Diego. And what we saw in that is that there were some fighters who are still making $10,000 to start. And Dana White, in his interview with Yahoo Sports, said fighter pay has gone through the roof since the sale in 2016. And from what I saw in the comparing the fight pay from the starting fight pay from this 2022 card, and I think it might have been the first card of 2016, which was before the sale, fighter pay has not gone through the roof. Fighter pay has pretty much stayed stagnant. And so White can say what he wants, but we can see that base pay, starting pay, was $10,000 in January, I think January 2016, regardless of the month, it was before the sale to Endeavor. And now in 2022, that base pay remains at $10,000. So say what you want. The facts are fighter pay is not going through since the sale. Fighter pay has stayed the same. Starting pay has stayed the same since the sale. And I'm going to say that there are a lot more fighters on the UFC roster with the number of fighters who are being brought in by the Dana White Contender Series that are on the bottom of the pay scale than they're at the top of the pay scale. And so this idea that the UFC is just handing out cash like it's going out of style is a falsehood. And we can see it with these numbers. And don't think that the UFC isn't happy that most athletic commissions aren't disclosing pay anymore. They're ecstatic that most athletic commissions aren't disclosing pay anymore. It makes it easier to tell the tale that pay is going up when in reality it's stagnating. And the big picture is Endeavor bought the UFC with the idea that the pay was not going to exceed 20% of the revenue. And so, yeah, revenue is going up and maybe overall pay is going up as portion of what they're paying out, but that is staying the same under 20% of the revenue. That's not increasing, and that's not a mistake. That's by design. That's why Endeavor bought the UFC, because the profits are immense. And even if the revenue goes up and even if pay goes up a little bit, it still stays under 20% of the overall revenue. So don't give me pay is increasing crazy when revenue is increasing even crazier than the pay is. Once the revenue split gets a little more fair, then you can make these claims that pay is going up. But if the revenue share still remains at under 20% while other major sports are in the 50% range, the claims that pay are going up are false. They're just false. Uriah Hall retired recently, and one thing that stuck with me in his retirement statement was this. The UFC has given me the best opportunity to step completely outside my comfort zone. Throughout the years, I've gone up against some of the best in the world at the highest level. Although I did not achieve the rank of world champion, I've acquired some of my greatest achievements from mixed martial arts, and that was facing my fears and being a champion in life. And the part that really sticks with me here is that Uriah Hall said that the UFC gave him the opportunity to step outside his comfort zone. Uriah Hall is a very talented mixed martial artist, a very talented fighter. But we saw there was a level of discomfort in perhaps doing his job that kind of held him back in the UFC. There were times when he, like he says here, stepped outside that comfort zone. But there were other times where he just seemed not able to fully engage with what he needed to do as a mixed martial artist, which is, you know, visit damage on another person. And that is uncomfortable. And it should be uncomfortable, but this is the sport. And that's how the sport is scored and won, by damage. And Hall never seemed to really get comfortable in doing that. When he let himself go and when he would flow and when he would do that damage, he looked like he could be, as was said of him in his earlier career, the next Anderson Silva. When he held back, he was just another fighter. And so I think that might have been one of the reasons that Hall elected to retire. But I think as a person, what he experienced and what he went through will help him grow and will make him a better person. So it really stuck with me that he noted that it let him step outside of his comfort zone. And so I guess the UFC, he should thank the UFC for that. You know, that's not something that he probably would have done without the UFC. So good on him and on the UFC for having him for as long as it did. Luke Rockhold went into UFC 278 fight week, and we really didn't know what to expect from Luke Rockhold. I really didn't know what to expect from Luke Rockhold. There are times when Rockhold has come across as kind of smarmy, full of himself, and that might still be the case. But in the fight week, he really showed a different side to himself, and he said that he was, you know, in a different space And during that, he really let things, he was just free. He felt his comments felt freer. He didn't seem nervous about consequences of any of his comments. He called out some media that seemed to be more interested in creating clicks and creating viral moments than they are with covering the sport, covering the UFC, covering the fighters. He called these places out by name in his UFC 278 media day. And then he went on to criticize the UFC for its poor pay, the lack of growth in the bonus structure, that was pointing out that they were still stuck at $50,000, which has been the case for many, many years, even though there was a time when the UFC handed out not $100,000, but $129,000 bonuses back when Jake Shields fought George St. Pierre. And he also pointed out that, while the UFC might have injury insurance, it does not have health insurance. And so a fighter who has an injury or a lingering injury that wasn't tied to an fight event or isn't under contract, that person doesn't really have insurance per se, but they don't have health insurance. They have injury insurance, and that injury insurance is only while they are under contract for a fight. So it's very limited. But he pointed all these things out. And what stuck out about this is that while the UFC didn't pull the plug on Rockhold during his media day interview, it did not upload his media day interview to the UFC YouTube page. So, and meanwhile, the other fighters that are at the top of the card, all five of them, the five other fighters in the top three fights, their media day interviews are on the YouTube page. Rockhold's is still not on that page, and I'm not going to hold my breath that it's going to be. I asked the UFC for comment on this. They did not comment. I'm not surprised by that either. But at best, it's a soft censorship. And this is from the promotion, who has said over and over again that it does not censor its athletes. It does not tell them what to say. It does not punish them for speaking their minds on anything, even to quote Dana White when he is the subject of whatever the fighters have to say. But I mean, White has said, who's more about more free speech than us? Well, we're looking at UFC 278 and we're looking at Luke Rockhold, and we're saying there might be plenty of places that are more free speech than the UFC. And like I said, they didn't pull the plug on him, so technically they didn't censor him. But when you upload the media day interviews for five of the six fighters and there's one fighter not uploaded, that might not be censorship per se, but you're preventing his words from being seen on your platform while every other fighter is allowed to have their words be seen on your platform. So hard censorship, no. Soft censorship, 100%. The UFC didn't upload Luke Rockhold's media day, and there was a reason for that. And what I hope comes out of this is that Luke Rockhold takes what he's said here during UFC 278 fight week, and it's not just about getting clicks. It's not just about getting attention during fight week, that he takes this moment and runs with it. We know the UFC is paying attention to what Rockhold said because it didn't upload his words to its YouTube page. We know the UFC is concerned about what Luke Rockhold says because it didn't allow him to have that platform on its YouTube page that allowed five of the other six fighters in the main top three main card fights. We know the UFC doesn't want Luke Rockhold's words to be spread any more than they have already spread. And that's something that other fighters should note, and not in a negative way, in a positive way. This is pressure, and this is pressure coming from the fighters. And if that pressure keeps getting pushed, well, maybe it'll help make a change. Small change, incremental change. A change is a change. And if that change gets the fighters more pay, elevates bonuses, increases medical expenses, not expenses, but increases medical insurance, that's great. So what Luke Rockhold needs to do here is take the energy that he has had during UFC 278 fight week and continue with it after that. Will that happen? I don't know. I'm going to praise Luke Rockhold for doing what he did during fight week. But if he wants to get more praise, if he wants to get more attention, if he wants to help more fighters, if he wants this to keep going, if he wants this energy to keep growing and growing and maybe making a change with the UFC, then he needs to keep going with what he started here at UFC 278. So Luke Rockhold, great start. Definitely the pre-fight winner at UFC 278 and definitely someone who could help fighters going forward. Now, will that happen? I don't know. I hope it happens. I hope Luke Rockhold takes this energy and understands that he was a positive force here during fight week and keeps going forward with that. He doesn't seem afraid to do it. It just, now the question is, does he have the energy to keep doing it? We'll see. But Luke Rockhold, great lead up to UFC 278.